It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. Week 9 in the National Football League. And this is fast becoming really my favorite hour and a half of the week. Breaking down every single matchup with my main man, Evan Silva, the moneymaker from rotoworld.com. If you're not following Evan on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL is my Twitter, at Evan Silva is his Twitter. You are doing it wrong. RossTucker.com, always the hub for this podcast. Love the tweets you guys send us saying how much you love the podcast. Feel free to go ahead and do that same thing at iTunes with the rankings and the comments. Plus, if you have specific questions about this podcast, we've got answers, or at least for this podcast, we've got answers. We got one question for the AFC podcast, which is this one with the Bengals and the Browns playing tomorrow night. And we've got an email question for tomorrow, the NFC podcast as well. All you have to do, it's so easy, is just forward any of our sponsor confirmations available at RossTucker.com to me, Ross@RossTucker.com, and Evan will answer your question, including your quarterback streamers question. Evan, we like to get started with a bang, plus it makes it so we don't have to be redundant at the end. Who do you have as your quarterback streamers this week, my friend? Or do you want me to tell you who you have?
No, I have him right in front of me this week. Jay Cutler is under 40% owned in Yahoo leagues, and he can be scooped up off the waiver wire and used against San Diego in a Monday night game where the game total is almost 50 points, second highest of the week, so some shootout potential there. In that Monday nighter. I also like Tyrod Taylor, another guy who has become available in a lot of fantasy leagues. Fully expected back this week against Miami. He threw 3 touchdown passes against Miami in earlier this season. I believe it was week 3. And, always brings that rushing potential to the table. Jameis Winston going against a Giants pass defense that doesn't rush the passer. Gave up 7 touchdown passes to Drew Brees last week. Hopefully we can get some Seferian Jenkins back, maybe some V-Jax. And Winston is in an okay spot there. And I actually have 4 this week because there are 6 teams on bye. And, people are going to be scrounging at quarterback in all likelihood. Kirk Cousins, I think, is interesting. DeSean Jackson is expected back. Jordan Reed already is back. They got Pierre Garçon. Jamison Crowder has been a little bit of a playmaker in the slot for Washington. And this is a game where the Redskins are probably going to have a lot of passing game volume. Kirk Cousins, I could see him throwing the ball 45 times, and that may result in 3 interceptions. Very easily could at New England. I actually love New England as a defensive play. But Kirk Cousins is a guy who is definitely probably available in your fantasy league. Last time out, he was actually the QB1 overall against Tampa Bay. Good weapons and going to be throwing the ball a lot.
Love it. 4. That's added value there from Evan. 4 streamers in case some of the other guys are taken and because there are so many teams on buys right now. Before we get into the Bengals and the Browns, is there anybody you think is going to have an absolutely horrendous game? Would it be fair to say you think Manziel will have a horrendous game?
Part of me still kind of roots for Johnny Manziel because I think it would be fun if he was good. But, I think that what we've seen of him so far, he has big play ability. We've seen him throw 3 touchdown bombs so far this year to Travis Benjamin. We know he's got, elusiveness, but he's just not an NFL caliber quarterback. The way he plays ruins your offense. you know, in his one start, the OC John DeFilippo called the game so conservatively. Manziel finished with 15 pass attempts, only 3 scrambles for 1 yard. He had 8 completions. You know, I don't think that the Browns trust Johnny Manziel to go out there and execute their full playbook. And, you know, I don't even think that he's worth streamer consideration. Of course, we know that he has big playability. So, you know, maybe he'll, you know, make a few big plays, but, you know, I like the Bengals fantasy defense. I think that the Bengals should be able to control this game. Lots of Jeremy Hill. They're 11-point favorites at home. You know, this is an opportunity for Hugh Jackson to feed Jeremy Hill the ball 30 times and get him rolling. I think Jeremy Hill had his best game of the season last week against Pittsburgh. Didn't have any long runs, so his stats weren't flashy. But, you know, he ran the ball well, and Hugh Jackson agreed. He thinks that Jeremy Hill is trending in the right direction. So really like Jeremy Hill as a fantasy start this week in the Bengals D.
Sounds like Johnny Manziel might be a guy that needs to go to the post office if he plays that poorly, because that's where you go when you play so poorly, because that's your punishment. You don't get to use stamps.com, which turns your PC or Mac into your own personal post office that never closes, and you can get anything you want, buying and printing official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your computer and printer with the click of a button. By going to stamps.com and use our promo code FANTASY for a special 4-week trial, plus $110 bonus offer includes postage and a digital scale. Again, don't wait. Don't be like Johnny Manziel. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in fantasy. That's stamps.com. Enter fantasy, or else you might be standing in line at the post office with Johnny Manziel. Let's roll, Bri.
Next meal.
Is it fair to say, Evan, for Cleveland, what does that mean in your mind before we move on to the next game for Barnage and Benjamin and anybody else that you might have on Cleveland?
You know, Barnish has played so well that I don't think you can pull him out of your fantasy lineup. They're still going to call a lot of plays for him. The Bengals have given up the second most receptions in the league to tight ends. They gave up 10-105 to Heath Miller last week. So there are positive indicators, but you can't be surprised if he has a rough game. You know, Johnny Manziel has attempted 50 passes this year. 5 of them have gone to Barnage. He's targeted Brian Hartline the most. Brian Hartline won't play. He actually has 0 pass attempts to Duke Johnson. So, you know, as a guy who owns Duke Johnson, I'm a little concerned. I'm still going to probably start him. But, you know, it's just a situation where you can't be surprised if these guys have slow games.
All right. Miami coming off of the weekend off after they got smoked by the Patriots on Thursday night, travels to Buffalo, who's getting a lot of their dudes back, Evan, including Tyrod Taylor. Remember, the Dolphins do not have Cam Wake, who, let's be honest, was their best football player.
Yeah, Cam Wake was tearing it up. 7 sacks and 4 forced fumbles so far this year. So that improves the outlook for Tyrod. I think it improves the outlook. I mean, Cameron Wake is primarily a pass rusher, especially at this stage of his career. But, you know, removing such a good player from the front four, you know, should help the cause of LeSean McCoy. Carlos Williams should be back as in a change of pace role, but LeSean McCoy is the guy there. And Sammy Watkins is expected back. You know, this team needed this bye badly to get healthy. Tyrod Taylor is in a really good spot, and I think he comes out and has a pretty solid game. On Miami's side, we know what they're going to do. They screwed up, you know, with the trick plays early last week, and they fell behind, and I don't think they're going to make that mistake again. We know that they want to run the football. The Bills are still without Kyle Williams. He will not play. The Bills' run defense has been pretty disappointing. Give up a big game to T.J. Yeldon in London. Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard combined for a pretty good game against the Bills as well. So, you know, the matchup isn't terrible for Lamar Miller. And, you know, Jarvis Landry should get his in the slot. I'm a little concerned with Ryan Tannehill. I mean, I've looked at the historical stats of Ryan Tannehill against Rex Ryan's defense, and they're not good. Over the last three meetings, he's completed 60% of his passes with a 6.4 yards per attempt average, three touchdowns, four interceptions, and 12 sacks taken. He's never finished above the number 15 overall fantasy quarterback in a week against a Rex Ryan D. So I think that, you know, if you can find a better option, like I think Jay Cutler is a guy who you can scoop off the waiver wire and is a better option than Ryan Tannehill this week. Same with Tyrod Taylor.
Interesting. Very interesting. All right, let's keep it rolling.
Next meal.
The Redskins are in New England to take on the Patriots. This is the AFC version of the fantasy feast, so we'll focus in on the Patriots. I know the Redskins' defense has probably been better than people thought. This is obviously a huge challenge. The question I always have, and we always need to have when you're talking about the Patriots, is what kind of game will it be? What do they perceive of the Redskins, and who are they going to feature? You know, I wasn't sure last week if they would try to pound the Dolphins or go with Deion Lewis, get the ball out quickly. They started with pounding Blunt,
yeah,
and then they switched to Deion Lewis in the passing game, which is pretty interesting. How do you see this game going for the Patriots?
They should just seek and destroy, man. I mean, you know, Washington did play, did open the season playing better defense than most people think. But you know, they're still in a rebuild mode, really, on both sides of the ball. And, that began, you know, their run defense hasn't been good in a while now. So I think that the Patriots at home against this team should really be able to light them up in the first half and then just put the ball in LeGarrette Blunt's belly in the second half. You know, the Patriots are favored by 14 points. I mean, you know, it's a situation where you want to start Patriots players. Their team total is like over 33 points. So, I mean, you know,
so
we're looking
them.
At guys
so,
like
so,
Brandon.
So both Blunt and Lewis.
Yeah, I think that Blunt and Lewis are both really good plays. I think Brandon LaFell is also a good play. He's become, you know, I know he's had drops, but he's become a full-time player in the Patriots offense, and he has a good matchup against a weak Redskins pass defense.
All right.
Next meal.
The Mike Mularkey-led Tennessee Titans are in New Orleans to take on the Saints. Ding dong, the Wiz is dead, Evan. I know that will make you happy.
I mean, I don't want him to die, but he definitely isn't a guy who should be the head coach of an NFL team. Just really didn't have any ability to mask his team's weaknesses and maximize the strengths. And, you know, that was the case in Arizona at the end of his tenure there as well. So many losses piled up. I don't know what changes we can try to anticipate here. I don't know what to say. I mean, the Titans have to fix their pass protection issues. Marcus Mariota is coming back. They do get to face the Saints, so that, you know, and that's a weak defense that doesn't rush the passer. And but they'll be without Kendall Wright. I think that Delanie Walker should be a solid play here. Mike Mularkey coached tight ends for the Titans in 2014, I want to say. So, you know, he's been close with Delanie Walker, and Marcus Mariota, you know, he would be in the streamer conversation just because he should get a lot of chances against a Saints team that is weak defensively, but really offensively shouldn't have any problems running all over the Titans and scoring points against them at home.
Yeah, I think if there's any change, just reading between the lines what Malarkey said, I would imagine maybe it's more three-step, more getting the ball out of his hands quickly. When he said change up some of the pass concepts, you know, I was talking with somebody that played for the Titans and said, if you look at their protection, you know, they use the same drop-back, seven-step protection, essentially, on more than 50% of their plays last year, which is just unheard of. Like, nobody does that. Not 50% of their passes, 50% of their plays. Not real good. So even though they're going against the Saints defense, are you shying away from everybody?
No, I mean, I like Delanie. I can understand the Marcus Mariota play. You know, people want to know about Doriel Green Beckham, and I do too. But, you know, we've talked about his issues already. That, you know, he's been on the field a lot more recently, but they don't feel comfortable designing plays for him and making, you know, making plays where he's the quarterback's first progression read because he doesn't know the playbook. He doesn't always know where to line up. And he's just super, super raw. He didn't even play football last year. So, you know, what are we really expecting? So, you know, I think it's Delanie and Mariota as a quarterback streamer, and that's about it, especially with no Kendall Wright.
All right, let's move on.
Next meal.
Jags at the Jets. What happened to the Jets D? I mean, 2 weeks in a row, Brady and then Derek Carr lit them up pretty good. You know, typically I think, oh, man, Jets D, not good for Bortles. Not good for Hearns and Robinson. I don't know that I feel that way, Evan.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they bounced back here big time. They really played poorly in the first half. Cromartie got just destroyed by Crabtree, and then Andre Holmes over the top. Derek Carr played awesome, you know, and Derek Carr is a legit franchise quarterback at this point in my mind. And I think he deserves the credit. I think the Jets go back home. You know, this is a classic situation where the team bounces back in a home game. And, I mean, I like the Jets D as a play against the Jaguars offense. I think that the Jets go back to their bread and butter, which is really running the football with Chris Ivory. It's hard to say about the quarterback situation. I think Brandon Marshall guts it out on his toe and ankle injuries. And whenever he gets a chance to play, I mean, you want him in your fantasy lineup. The Jaguars are really weak in pass defense, have been benching guys in their secondary, don't really rush the passer. So whether it's Geno Smith or Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, I think you want Brandon Marshall in your lineup. You want Chris Ivory. You know, Eric Decker has proven himself to be an every week fantasy starter as well, scores a lot of TDs. So I think the Jets bounce back.
And on the Jag side, you're staying away from everybody?
I mean, TJ Yeldon has been getting, you know, almost 20 touches a game, and in a week where there are six teams on bye, you know, it's hard to, I mean, he would have to be a guy that you would rank in your top 18 running backs or maybe even your top 15 running backs. Even though the Jets have played great run D with the exception of last week's game in the black hole. So, and now with the Jag saying that they want to get TJ Yeldon more goal line carries because Toby Gerhardt has been a disaster down there. You know, that increases his scoring potential. You know, Allen Robinson will probably see a lot of Revis in this one, and that is concerning. But the Jaguars get him easy catches as well. He's a guy who can, you know, make plays in the air. I mean, Revis is great, but Amari Cooper got catches against him last week, you know. I'm not saying that he's done. He's great still, but I'm not sure that he is a guy who's like going to make Allen Robinson a zero. You know, Julius Thomas is, you know, with the Jags coming off their bye, he was injured in the first half of the year, and now this was his opportunity to really get in, you know, full practices with Blake Bortles. I like him. And Allen Hurns is a guy that, you know, he has been producing even with the odds against him. He doesn't get a lot of targets, but he's been scoring touchdowns. He's got some big playability, and he should see more of Cromartie, who's coming off a really, really bad game this week.
Let's move on.
Next meal.
Raiders at the Steelers. You mentioned your boy Derek Carr and what he's doing right now. Does he do it again against Pittsburgh, whose secondary has been a lot better than I thought they'd be? I'll be the first one to admit that.
Yeah. Yeah, the Steelers have not given up multiple touchdown passes to the opposing quarterback in since week two. So, you know, they have, like, weak personnel, but they're playing well together. You know, we've seen the kind of same thing in Atlanta this year, and we saw the kind of same thing in Dallas last year. So even teams that don't have a lot of talent defensively, sometimes they can overachieve when they play well together. I think that Derek Carr has still earned a fantasy start. You know, I think that he's a top 10 or top 12 guy at worst this week. You know that this is a game where I think the Steelers are going to come out and destroy the Raiders with their passing game, and I think it has shootout potential. You know where the ball is going to go in Oakland's passing game. It's going to go to Crabtree, who, by the way, leads the Raiders in targets over Amari Cooper, and is a great run-after-catch receiver. I think he's an awesome fantasy start. He's still underpriced on daily fantasy sites. And Amari Cooper, you know, has a potential for a big game. I agree that the Steelers have overachieved, you know, defensively with their pass D, but this is still a good spot for the Raiders' passing offense.
I'm assuming, you know, D'Angelo Williams now is picked up in every league. Is he definitely a must-start in your mind going against the Raiders?
Absolutely. They used him as an every-down back in the first two games, and that's when they didn't even have Martavis in there, you know, to keep safeties back. And, I mean, the Raiders' run defense is actually really good. But D'Angelo Williams is going to get volume. He's going to be on the field a lot. He's going to be, you know, getting touches in scoring position. And he's an every week RB1 in fantasy. That means a top 10 or 12 guy the rest of the way.
Well, maybe he's a good play on daily fantasy as well. Speaking of daily fantasy, no, I'm not telling you about DraftKings.com. Instead, I'm telling you about Avant. Let's talk money. Sometimes people need a little extra. I get it. Evan gets it. Maybe this is how Evan bankrolls all his winnings at Daily Fantasy. Avant provides access to personal loans from a grand to $35,000 without ever stepping foot in a branch. They'll check a rate for you risk-free with no effect on your FICO score. Avant will give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after you make your first payment on time. For this offer and to check your rate risk-free, go to avantoffer.com and enter promo code FANTASY. That's AVANTOffer.com. Promo code FANTASY. Avantoffer.com. Promo code FANTASY. Here comes Evan's favorite part. Loans made by WebBank. Funds are generally deposited via ACH for delivery next business day if approved by 4:30 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. FICO is a registered trademark of Fair Isaac Corporation. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
Next meal.
How about a little Broncos and Colts on Sunday? You know, I had heard through the grapevine, Evan, and I mentioned this on today's Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Some people had suggested to me that Pep Hamilton really didn't totally know what he was doing. Now, I never got real clarity or examples on that, but I had heard again through the grapevine that Pep Hamilton was quote-unquote over his head. I guess I would look at it and say, with Chudzinski in there, it probably can't be worse. And Chadzinski's a former tight end, coach, tight end lover. What does this mean for Fleener and Allen?
Yeah, just from watching the games, you know, and based on how the Colts offense operated last year, like I thought that Pep Hamilton wasn't a problem at all. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Chuck Pagano apparently thinks that I'm wrong, and he's moving forward with Chud. Yeah, Chud has a great history with tight ends. He's been a tight ends coach. He coached Jeremy Shockey at the U, Kellen Winslow in Cleveland, you know, Greg Olson in Carolina, Antonio Gates. He was his position coach in San Diego. But I don't know how, I mean, how is that going to affect, you know, fantasy? I don't know. Will we see a little bit more of Dwayne Allen? Kobe Fleener had become the Colts' primary tight end in recent weeks. They're playing a lot of three receiver sets with one tight end, and it has mostly been Fleener. You know, that surprises me with all the blocking issues that the Colts have, that they would pull Fleener off in favor of, or pull Allen off in favor of Fleener. But that is what they had been doing under Pep. I don't know if we'll see a change there. I mean, I don't know. They're facing Denver now. So my guess is that Rob Chudzinski is not going to look like an upgrade in week 9.
Yeah, good week for him to start. What about on the other end with the Broncos offense? They obviously perform well against the Packers. Are you believing that this is what they are now? Did they fix things during the bye week? Is the running game going to get going? Are they back? What's the deal?
You know, I think that Kubiak and Peyton Manning are pretty smart guys, and, you know, they definitely seem to figure out some of their pass protection issues, which was critical. And they started throwing the ball downfield, and Peyton said, you know, we were able to connect on some of these passes this game because we worked on our timing. And he said that, you know, a lot of the issues with their downfield passes early in the year were timing based. So if they can start hitting passes downfield, that is going to open up everything. And that's going to make Ronnie Hillman and CJ Anderson look better. And, you know, that is going to eventually, you know, open space for Vernon Davis, who, by the way, when he's gotten the ball in San Francisco this year, I thought he looked bad last year. But when he's gotten the ball in San Francisco this year, I think he's looked explosive. And I think that once he gets up to speed in the offense, he will have a chance to be a fantasy asset. You know, my expectations are raised for the Broncos offense moving forward. And, you know, this is another good spot for them. You got the revenge narrative. This is Peyton Manning, you know, going back to Indy for just the second time since the Colts cut him. And, you know, I think that they should be able to generate a lot of offense in the dome in Indianapolis.
All right, let's wrap it up.
Next meal.
Six teams on byes, so three less games. It's the Bears at the Chargers. Keenan Allen out for the year with that lacerated kidney. Which, by the way, just as an aside, just think about that every time you're complaining about NFL players and the money they make or whatever. Lacerated kidney, no big deal. Anyway, what about the Chargers going against the Bears defense that, I'll credit Fox, Evan, he has made them respectable. Where do the touches go without Keenan Allen, and how respectable will Fox's defense look against the Chargers?
Well, Fox's defense is another defense that just doesn't have a lot of good players on it. And there have been times when they've been able to get the guys to play together pretty well, and they've looked, you know, like a passable defense. And there have been other times where they've gotten lit up. So, you know, now they're traveling across the country to San Diego, and my guess is that they're going to have trouble stopping the Chargers passing game, which has been, you know, statistically the best passing game in football, you know, maybe besides New England. So Ladarius Green is another guy that left last week's game with an ankle injury. I don't expect to know his status until maybe the weekend, maybe not until the pregame inactives are announced on Monday night. Stevie Johnson is a guy who gets really, really elevated by the Keenan Allen injury, and he should be, you know, bankable for 8 to 12 targets moving forward. Antonio Gates didn't look really good last week, but now he gets an extended layoff, you know, the extra day to get ready to play against the Bears. He should be good to go. Dontrell Inman is a guy who I think is pretty interesting. Last year when Keenan Allen missed the Chargers' final two games of the season, it was Dontrell Inman who actually played that X receiver role, and he had, I think, target totals of 9 and 8. He had over 70 yards in both games. He's actually been playing a lot this year. He just hasn't been, you know, high in the Chargers' reads, but he'll be higher now. And in those games, Eddie Royal was playing the Stevie Johnson role. Malcolm Floyd and Antonio Gates were both playing. So, you know, he produced despite a lot of guys around him. And Phillip Rivers at that time was playing through a back injury, like a really bad back injury. So I kind of like Dontrell Inman as a pickup. I'm starting him in a few leagues this week. I'm going to look at him in daily. The thing is that he's not a whole lot cheaper than Stevie Johnson, who is a much stronger fantasy play. So I'm probably going to go with Stevie, but I think Dontrell Inman is worth a look as a guy that nobody will be on.
Interesting. Maybe Inman, maybe Stevie Johnson for a daily place like DraftKings.com, which is just like this podcast. It is fantasy football on demand, just like this is audio fantasy football content on demand. Play where you want, when you want, with the players you want. That's the beauty of one-week fantasy at DraftKings. There's a ton of money up for grabs. Don't let Evan get all of it. Hurry to DraftKings.com now. Turn your love of football into a life-changing payday. Evan's giving you a lot of the answers to the question. Go take the test. Use promo code FEAST and play for free with your first deposit in Sunday's million-dollar fantasy football contest. First place takes home $100,000. Enter FEAST for free entry now only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Email time, Brian.
Ever wanted to ask an NFL player a question?
And
well,
Evan.
Here's your chance. It's time to ask Ross.
And Evan. Here we go, Evan. Ross and Evan, I've been listening to you, Ross, for a few years now. Appreciate what you do. I've been playing fantasy football for about 13 years, since I was 16. Always had this question about fantasy football in general. Is there evidence of more or less fantasy points being scored during Thursday games versus Sunday afternoon games versus Sunday night and Monday night? Everyone talks about primetime games being emotional games. So does that translate to fantasy stars output in general? Love to get your thoughts on it. Huge fan of the podcast and listen at work. And I can't remember what sponsor he forwarded to me, but he did. It's Brandon Ramirez. The email address is ross@rostucker.com with a sponsor confirmation. I forget which one Brandon did, but it's appreciated, Brandon. Evan, I know there are some people that believe you should always fade the Thursday night guys, right?
Yeah, well, and it's a good question, and I don't have specific data to back everything up, but I do know that the first year that they really started playing the Thursday night games every single week, the games were disastrous, and you know they specifically picked bad teams to play in those games so that, you know, to kind of increase awareness. But the games would consistently go under the Vegas total, and then things change in the second year of the Thursday night games, and they started to go over. So I don't know that we can say with, you know, specificity that there is, you know, some expectation that we should have for all the Thursday games in general. You know, it is factual that the teams get less time to game plan. And I think that you see it sometimes that players who, you know, are just like have more chemistry with their quarterback will tend to do better in the Thursday night games, you know, just because they have that feel. And then, you know, players who are more reliant on the game plan will tend to do worse. There's just less of a game plan. They have to go play street ball a little bit more. So that would be my answer to that, to the Thursday night question.
Interesting. All right. Well, we'll get another email in the NFC podcast, which we are going to record right now and then post shortly after midnight, so we don't mess with all your podcast apps that freaked out when we tried to post two on the same day. Love those of you, though, right now that want to spread the word via social media. It's really easy to do. If you're a Facebook person, facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. We can get to more of those emails if you guys forward more sponsor confirmations to me, ross@rostucker.com. Stick a fork in us, though, for this one. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at RossTucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
This week on the Big Podcast with Shaq, we're joined by our buddy Adam Carolla.
Everybody always asks me, what's the difference between raising the boy and raising the girl? Raising the girl is like raising three kids, and raising the boy is like raising one old cat.
Plus, you never know what will come up on the show.
When do you start decorating for Christmas?
I don't receive presents, nor do I decorate my house. I just wait till Christmas Eve. Then I call Rudolph and Rancer and Prancer and Vixen and Stixon and Stone Age and Rudolph, of course.
So you're saying black people do not know the names of the other reindeer. They do know Rudolph.
I'm just saying I don't.
The Big Podcast with Shaq.
That's me. It's up right now at podcast1.com.